Buenos días. Well, some of you had it, eh? Good. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you, and we always remember you, and some of you, we even have your emails, and I hope you're receiving some of the new newsletters that we sent, and we try to pray for you. Sometimes it's difficult because we forget of the faces behind the names. So it's, but we do. And today we are going to go through some selected scriptures, not on a specific passage. And I just want you to think about our culture and expectations. 30 seconds, and just look around you. And what do you see? What are the things that you feel that affect you personally, stick to you? Some may be not so good. 30 seconds. Think of those things of culture and expectations that are around us, surround us, and influence our lives. What do you think are some of the standard expectations that we have in life? What are some of the things we feel entitled to? Daniel Burstyn wrote that never has a people expected so much more than the world could offer. What has that sense of expectation of life done to us? What might be some of the consequences of our expectations? Have you thought of them? A few weeks ago, just before coming up to Canada, I should say a few months ago, as we've been over a month here already, John Ortberg wrote, "The bigger our sense of entitlement, the smaller our sense of gratitude." How do you explain the negative effect of entitlement on gratitude? That's a question. How does a sense of entitlement do such damage to our gratefulness? And sometimes we just, I find myself living life, involved in ministry, surrounded by spiritual people who love the Lord, but so many times I forget to be thankful. And, well, sometimes you may get kind of grumpy and whiny. Does that happen to you? I see some smiles there. Nobody said yes, but I guess those smiles say yes. I think all of us go through moments in our life that we just forget the so many blessings that we have received through Jesus, and we become a bit whiny. I like that word. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 20 is the one that we'll be centered on. And from there we'll kind of spread out. But I invite you to begin reading with me in verse 15. Of chapter 5 of Ephesians. One of the important things that I always like to tell the dear brethren and sisters, if you find that my accent is not helping you understand something, just lift up your hand and stop me and I'll try to repeat. 99.9 of my preaching is done in Spanish. You understand? I don't even read my English Bible. Never. So it's always a challenge. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's how you say that word? Yeah? Good. I'm learning it. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And here's the verse. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks. And I would like to share two things with you. We are to give thanks at all times. That's what Paul says there. Always giving thanks to God the Father. Always. And when Paul says always, it's not my always. It's always giving thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks at all times. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, expresses a bit of being thankful every morning and every night. And it goes like this. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Thankful every morning and every night, and be able to praise the Lord for that. He also speaks in Psalm 119, verse 62, a beautiful little short verse. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. At midnight. So thankful every morning and every night, and thankful at midnight. I don't know how many of you have woken up in the midnight. Some of you? It has happened? Well, it was a long time since I was awake at midnight. And I don't know what midnight is for you. It's not 12 o'clock for me. Because generally in Uruguay, we are up to 12 or 1 in the morning. It's normal of the culture down there. So that's not midnight for us. It would be around 3 o'clock in the morning. And it happened to me this week. I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and man, I remembered this verse right away. And I started thanking the Lord for many things, for His law, for the Word, and I started thanking Him for many things. And all of a sudden, I kind of shift in my prayer to asking. And I was asking and just asking for guidance. As we go back to Uruguay, there are several important decisions that we have to take, and just praying for that and asking for different people that we know in the work, different people that we work with, and just asking. All of a sudden, I said, oops, it's okay, but I better come back to giving thanks to the Lord again. And I think we all struggle with this. So it was last Wednesday, and I was awake up to 6 in the morning. So I had 3 hours there just talking with the Lord. And when I feel that I couldn't concentrate, I got up, went to the bathroom, got a glass of water, went back to bed, kept on praying. And thanksgiving to the Lord. And this is so important. We have to be thankful every morning, every night, even at midnight. And we are always thankful when we eat, right? We are always thankful. This morning we were doubly thankful because at breakfast time, Jake received a phone call from his son. So I gave thanks for breakfast. And when he comes, we were all having our cereals and having breakfast. And he kind of looks around and he's just going here. And he said, well, we should give thanks. And he gave thanks again. And that's okay. We have to give thanks when we eat. Have you ever gone a whole week without eating? You want to try it? Many people around the world go through that experience. So next time when we give thanks at the table for what we are eating, let's make sure that it's very sincere and not just one more prayer. Thank you, Lord, for, and that's it. So many times we take for granted the things that we have. As Romans 14:6 says, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. Remember when Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he after gave it to his disciples and shared it with the multitude. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And this is true. We in Uruguay, we are surrounded by this. In the evening, we'll consider that. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. And this is, we find it in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, whose consciousness have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. James 1:17. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. All good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So we are to give thanks in all times. Thankful every morning and every night, at midnight when we eat, and thankful when we pray. And the Apostle Paul stresses this a lot. Even many Psalms also invite us to pray, giving thanks, a heart full of gratitude. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As Psalm 100 says in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Devote yourself, Paul says in Colossians, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Revelation chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. And the 24 elders, this is talking of a future day, who were seated on their thrones before God, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. What a day. We can be thankful for that day today and not wait for that day. So we are to give thanks at all times. Now, verse 20 of Ephesians 5 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Note that last part. So it's, we are to give thanks not just in all times, but we are to give thanks in all things. Oh. This is not easy. Give thanks in all things? How can I practice this? When things become tough in life, when there are questions that I cannot answer, lost, failure, how can I give thanks in those moments? I want to ask you, can you give thanks, really? Can I give thanks in everything? About all things? I believe we cannot. And if we can, it's just because we have the Lord with us. But it's not about us. It's about what He is and what He is doing in us. Rejoice always, says Paul. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So he says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will. So it's not just a good idea. It would be a good idea to be a thankful person. It's God's will. And it's done through Jesus Christ, who enables us to do it. Ephesians 5:20, as we read, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. And that's the part that we are stressing on. Now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Have you been thankful for prosperity? I don't teach that gospel. We have loads of that in South America. We have huge cults that are after the money of people and promise prosperity. Well, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. What I find is that God will prosper, and He does. And when He does, we have to be thankful for that. As Paul said to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, because you may have it today, but maybe tomorrow it's all gone. You never know. And Paul says, that wealth is uncertain. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. So we may be thankful for prosperity. And we may be thankful for people. Oh, this is wonderful. One of my goals that I set in my life when I was 28 was to be a person who would always be given thanks anywhere I went to all the people I could for any reason to be thankful to people. It was when I was 28 that I realized that I had never given a real, sincere, and profound thank you to my mom and dad. I was 28. Man, I don't know if I was proud or if I was just whatever. I don't know. You think about your personal being and who you are. But when I was 28, that was the first time that I recalled that I went to my mom and dad, sat them down there, and I said, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this other. I see a lot of young people here. You may beat me. I hope so. Be thankful. Be thankful for the parents that God has given you, because they love you. They're not perfect. Don't pretend that they should be perfect, because they won't. You aren't perfect. So from your imperfect side, go to your imperfect parents and go and thank them for who they are and what they've done for you, what they have taught you. I did it, and it was wonderful. I started crying. Just tears coming down. Thanking them. Leticia wasn't there. It was a day that I said I want to do this, and I went. It was great. And just think of those people who have been important in your life, in your spiritual life. Go back home, and this afternoon, if you have a little time there, write them down on a piece of paper. It may be the youth leader. It may be an elder or the wife of an elder of the assembly. It may be a former elder or wife of an elder. It may be somebody who's not here. It may be a grandfather, a grandmother. Just write it down. Those people that have influenced in your life, that have been a real blessing to you. Humble yourself, praise God for those people, and after go and thank them for who they are and what they've done. Thankful for people. You know that Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, and I would like you to go to that verse. He's thankful for these brethren. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians. For their what? Thanks for what? For their faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompt by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful for the proper influence and blessings received through other brothers and sisters would eliminate many bad attitudes in my person towards others. And this is very important as a family church. When we are working together, when we see each other, and, you know, there are certain issues that come up, and it's not always easy to work around people. Do you agree with that? So you have to make sure that you're a thankful person, because if not, all of a sudden you'll start to concentrate on the negative. You'll start to concentrate on the bad, and that will ruin your relationships with people, relationships with those that have been a blessing to you. You just forget it and start focusing on the not proper things. And so allow the grace of God to just pour through you and manifest this thankfulness in all things, and even to the weird or the difficult people. Yeah, there's always something that I may learn. Thankful for problems and pain. Paul says we are to give thanks in all things. Thankful for problems and pain. I don't like to talk. I want to be sincere. I don't like to talk too much about this. Because when I look around, I always meet people that have gone through more problems and more pain than myself. And sometimes I'm afraid that I may speak it just in theory because I know it from the Word of God. I don't want to be cold. I want to be gracious. And maybe some of you have gone through difficult situations in your life. You know what pain is. You know what problems are. The promise of God. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's the promise. The purpose. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, says Paul in Colossians 1, 24. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. So we have the promise. We have the purpose. But there's the prayer. As Psalm 107 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 107, verse 1. I know that many of you are learning verses by memory, and that's a beautiful psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So we are to give thanks at all times, and we are to give thanks in all things. I want to finish with a story that many of you know. Thank you for the fleas. Thank you for the fleas. Well, Leticia knows quite a bit of that. When we work with poor children, and you'll see some pictures today in the background on the different realities that some of them live, many of them have lots of fleas. And one of the most wonderful things that, as a father, I enjoy is to see my two daughters hanging on to these kids and hugging them and sharing the love that they have with these children. But I guess that takes a lot of work for mommy after getting all those fleas off their hair, that long hair. Man, thank you for the fleas. That's not about us. It's in the book, The Hiding Place. Corrie ten Boom tells, and I'm going to read it, of a time she discovered that God was working even in the most horrific circumstances. You probably know this story, but I would like us to remind some of the things that happened with her. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for hiding Jews behind the wall of their Holland home. And Nazi prison conditions pretty well unbearable. Corrie writes in one of the section of this book, barracks. How do you say that word? Barracks. Barracks. Thank you. Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound. Next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located the punishment barracks. From there, all day long and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not the sounds of anger or of any human emotion, but of the cruelty altogether detached. Blows landing in regular rhythm, scream, keep in pace. We would stand in our 10 deep ranks with our hands trembling at our sides, longing to jam them against our ears to make the sound stop. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Yet, in the midst of the suffering, the women prisoners around Corey and Betsy found comfort in the little Bible studies they held in the barracks. Corey writes, they gathered around the Bible like that word there, W-A-I-F-S. Not waifs, but waifs. Like waves clustered around the blazing fire. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. When they were moved to Barrack 28, Corey was horrified by the fact that their reeking straw bed platforms swarmed with fleas. How could they live in such a place? It was Betsy who discovered God's answer. We generally hear more about Corey. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barrack. I stared at her, says Corey, then around me at the dark, full air room. They thank God for the fact that they were there and they were together. They thank God they had a Bible. They even thank God for the horrible crowds of prisoners, that more people would be able to hear God's word, right? Perspective. When you start giving thanks, you just start to see things differently. And that's all about what God does in us. And then Betsy, thank God for the fleas. The fleas? This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say sometimes or in pleasant times. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us in. And so we stood between T-I-E-R-S, tears of bunks, and gave thanks for fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. It turned out that Betsy was not wrong. The fleas were a nuisance, but a blessing after all. The women were able to have Bible studies in the barracks with a great deal of freedom, never bothered by supervisors coming in and harassing them. They finally discovered that it was the fleas that kept those supervisors out. Through those fleas, God protected the woman from abuse and harassment. Dozens of desperate women were free to hear the comforting, hope-given word of God. Through those fleas, God protected the woman from much worse things and made sure they had their deepest, truest needs met. We all have fleas. We all have fleas in our lives. We all have those things that we can see no use for. Things that are obviously horrible, unpleasant, painful, things that we want gone. No life is free of fleas. But if Corey and Betsy can be our examples, God can even use these nasty insects for our protection and blessing. Celebrate and let's thank God for His constant care and provision, and for His hidden blessings that come in ways we can easily overlook. Give thanks in all time, and give thanks in all things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brethren, I really want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, to just move ahead, a step ahead from where you are now. I'm sure that you can improve in this area. And be thankful to God our Father. Be thankful to Jesus in all times and in all things. The Lord bless you. Lord Jesus, we want to give you thanks because of the cross. We want to give you thanks for who you are and what you did on the cross for us, taking our sins away on that horrible cross. Thanks for coming back to life as it was promised. And it couldn't have been any other way because you were God. And we praise you for that. We praise you for the moments that you give us, the breath that you give us as we live, to be able to be thankful every morning, night, midnight, as we eat, as we pray. Just help us, Lord, to be thankful. That gratitude would come out of our heart continuously to your person. We praise you, Lord. And we praise you also in those moments that are tough, that we don't understand why certain things. We praise you and give you thanks for the people that you put around us that love us and that want the best for us. We give you thanks for them. We give you thanks, Lord, because we can be part of a home assembly where your love is between us, and we can share it between each other and also share it to those that don't know you yet. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Father, because your Holy Spirit is working in us and your word has been very clear. It's so practical. We want to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.